Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers know that God has a purpose in their suffering, a purpose we can't fathom while in the deep valley. Today, realizing that the ultimate good of God's glory far outweighs the pain we encounter along the way. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. As we learn from Bible characters how to suffer, we now learn from the example of Naomi in the story of Ruth.
You've lost a husband, maybe you've lost a child to boot. You've lost your identity, perhaps you've lost your friends, and you feel like Naomi. Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Now, if we'd gone to Naomi and said, why do you think God brought that calamity upon you? She'd have probably said, I have no reason at all to know. Now, of course, God wanted to do a work in her heart for her to accept her calamity, and later on she does, because things turned out pretty well for her. But listen to the way in which the book ends. You'll notice it says, Ruth marries Boaz, and then verse 17 of chapter 4, and the women of the neighborhood, after Ruth has a child with Boaz, the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. Naomi is actually the grandmother. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And your jaw drops. And Ruth shows up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1. If you'd have said, Naomi, why is God being bitter with you, or at least you think that he's being that way, why? She would not have been able to look centuries into the future and to know that the reason that God brought all of this about, certainly one of the primary reasons, is that Ruth might be converted to the true God, the God of Israel. And secondly, God wanted a Moabitess in the genealogy of Jesus to show that the gospel is really for everybody and not just for the Jews. Listen, you don't know the half of the reasons why you're suffering. That's why we have to trust God. That's why we read together the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Because Naomi needed to trust God, and God's picture was so much bigger than hers, she had no way to know the far-reaching implications of her sorrow and her moving from Bethlehem to Moab and then from Moab back to Bethlehem. She didn't see that. She died without knowing it. Imagine. John chapter 9, there's a man who was born blind from his birth. I should have looked it up. I think it was 27 years, or was it 47? I didn't look at the passage, but for many, many years, there he is blind. And the disciples say, now, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, whose sin do we attribute it to? They're interested in this cause-effect relationship. We can judge how good a person is by how much they suffer. Born blind, maybe you sinned in some way before birth, or your parents sinned. Jesus, who did it? And Jesus said, there is no direct cause-effect relationship here. He said, neither this man sinned nor his parents. He didn't mean that they were sinless. He meant that there was no causal relationship between their sin and the blindness. But Jesus said he was born blind that the works of God might be manifest in him. Takes your breath away. All those years sitting in blindness, did he know the reason why he was blind? Of course not. Later on, it became clear to him when Jesus healed him and opened his eyes. But at the time that you're going through a trial, you see no purpose in it whatever. That's the time to trust and believe God that even though you don't see the purpose now, if you can see further down the road, God has purposes that you and I never know about. And blessed are those who understand that it is because of the future and the blessing that we are to others through our suffering, that also is part of the equation. And that man, in his blindness, suffered to the glory and the honor of God. Now, of course, God is also honored when we see him as being entirely worthy. And I'm not going to turn to this passage, but you can read it later in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul talks about the wisdom and the greatness of God being displayed throughout all of eternity. And then Paul says, for which also I suffer. And that leads me to some conclusions I want you to write down. If you say today, well, Pastor Lutzer, I'm not suffering today, you're the one that should be taking notes most carefully, because your day is coming. It's guaranteed. It's on its way. Wait till tomorrow. Number one, we can glorify God not just by winning, but also by losing. Let that sink in. We can glorify God by winning, but also by losing. Think of it this way. Job lost 10 children. Paul lost his health. Naomi lost a husband and 2 sons. You see, we have this idea that unless we're always advancing, always going up the ladder, always from one success to another, always keeping up with others, that somehow that is God's blessing. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it is the setbacks of life where we see God's glory most clearly. Blessed are those who go on believing and trusting when they do not see God's purposes, but know that it has come from his hand, and they go on and they keep believing no matter what. Blessed are those. It's the trial of your faith, as I mentioned, more precious than gold that is perishing. Wow. Think of it this way. Jesus not only glorified the Father by his resurrection, and we know how he did glorify the Father by his resurrection, but Jesus also glorified God as a result of the crucifixion. In fact, before he was crucified, he says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified thereby." Oh, well, there he is hanging on the cross. He looks as bad off as the other two that are on either side of him. He looks as weak and as helpless as the thieves. And there he is, and he's glorifying God. We don't always have to win. Oh, it takes the pressure off of life. If you sincerely believe that nothing else matters except God's glory, it's as if you are taking a weight from your shoulder and you are just rolling it onto the ground and you're walking away a free person. You really are. Young man said to me, "Would you pray that I might be able to get through my comprehensive exams?" I said, "Sure, I'll pray that, but is it okay if I also pray that you'll glorify God just as much if you fail?" Well, he swallowed and then said, "Yeah, you can pray that too." We don't always have to win. Look at the people in the Bible who suffered and died suffering. From a human standpoint, they weren't winners, but from God's standpoint, they glorified God in their weakness and in their suffering. And I'm going to speak on how to glorify God in death. Because remember, Jesus said to Peter, he told him how he was going to die, and he says, "This he said to Peter, by which death he was to glorify God." Death, I believe, is the crowning example of how we can give glory to God. So we don't always have to win. You see, what God wants to do is to crush us, to bring us to the place of Job, to bring us to the place of Paul, where we stop resisting his hand. Of course, we do all that we possibly can to alleviate our suffering. We go to doctors, we go for help, we do everything we can. But at the end of the day, you can't get rid of it all, and you embrace it. And you say, "This has come to me from God. I'm going to lay down the weapons of a rebel, and I'm going to accept it and thank him for it and give him glory." Let me give you a second lesson, and that is that time is short. and eternity is long. Time is short and eternity is long. I love that verse. In 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul says this, he says, this light affliction. And you remember what he went through, thorn in the flesh, people who tried to undermine him, the resistance of many groups that were against him, insults, stoning a number of times. He went through all that, and he says, this light affliction is but for a moment and works in us an exceeding great and weight of glory. I was brought up in a culture where we used to, when I was young, actually have scales where you put one weight on this, you'd put a pound on this side, and then you'd balance it with a pound on the other side, and that's how much you would know if you went to a grocery store as to how much meat or whatever it is that you were buying. That tells you a little bit about my age. It also tells you why I never read medical books. I'm always scared that I'm going to die because of a misprint. But anyway, I remember those scales, and I remember them well because I was in a store where, as a little boy, I put my hand on one of those sides, and the proprietor was not amused and let me know it. And it's amazing how those things stick with you throughout the years. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, take all of your trials, take the cancer, take the difficult marriage, take the financial pressures, take the jealousy that is in your heart and confess it and be content with where you are at. Take that and you put it on this side of the scale, and it is the weight of a human hair in comparison to an elephant on the other side. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. The glory that is to be revealed in us is so much greater than the trial through which we are going. And I can't emphasize too often that in the book of Romans, as elsewhere, a connection is made between the suffering of this life and the glory that is to be revealed in us. Now, if you take that with you today, you're going to receive encouragement. Because no matter what the trial is, if you and I pass that trial successfully through faith and thanksgiving, the glory that will eventually be revealed in us is going to be so much greater. I think that these messages are a great encouragement to people. So at the end of this broadcast, you are given information as to how these messages can be yours. You can simply go to our website, and I'll give you that website, offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com, and you can receive information as to how these messages will be yours. Thanks again for joining us today on Running to Win. You know, of course, that we depend upon you for your prayers, for your gifts, for your encouragement, because we want to make a difference in your community through the ministry of the Word. God bless you. See you next time.
Erwin Lutzer with more of God's glory in our suffering. Another message on Nothing Else Matters, how the glory of God gives meaning to all of life. Next time, how to triumph in your suffering. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.